When I look back, he thought, even when Jim Barris and I were sitting at the Fiddler's the other day, it was better even then. Jerry began it, he thought. That's what's coming down here. That there which carried off Jerry. How can days and happenings and moments so good become so quickly ugly and for no reason, for no real reason? Just change, with nothing causing it. I'm splitting, he said to Luckman and Orchter, who were watching him rev up. No, stay, hey, man, Luckman said with a warm smile. Oh, we need you. You're a brother. No, I'm cutting out. From the house, Barris appeared cautiously. He carried a hammer. It was a wrong number, he shouted, advancing with great caution, halting and peering like a crab thing in a drive-in movie. What's the hammer for? Luckman said. Arctor said, to fix the engine. Thought I would bring it with me, Barris explained as he returned gingerly to the Olds, since I was indoors and noticed it. The most dangerous kind of person, Arctor said, is one who is afraid of his own shadow. That was the last Freck heard as he drove away. He pondered over what Arctor meant, if he meant him, Charles Freck. He felt shame. But shit, he thought, why stick around when it's such a super bummer? Where's the chicken in that? Don't never participate in no bad scenes, he reminded himself. That was his motto in life. So he drove away now, without looking back. Let them snuff each other, he thought. Who needs them? But he felt bad, really bad to leave them, and to have witnessed the darkening change. And he wondered again why, and what it signified. But then it occurred to him that maybe things would go the other way again and get better, and that cheered him. In fact, it caused him to roll a short fantasy number in his head as he drove along avoiding invisible police cars. There they all sat as before. Even people who were either dead or burned out, like Jerry Fabin, they all sat here and there in a sort of clear white light, which wasn't daylight but better light than that. A kind of sea which lay beneath them, and above them as well. Donna and a couple other chicks looked so foxy. They had on halters and hot pants, or tank tops with no bras. He could hear music, although he could not quite distinguish what track it was from, what LP. Maybe Hendrix, he thought. Yeah, an old Hendrix track. Or now, all at once, it was JJ. All of them, Jim Croce and JJ, but especially Hendrix. Before I die, Hendrix was murmuring, let me live my life as I want to. And then immediately the fantasy number blew up, because he had forgotten both that Hendrix was dead and how Hendrix and also Joplin had died, not to mention Croce. Hendrix and JJ ODing on smack, both of them. Two neat, cool, fine people like that, two outrageous humans. And he remembered how he'd heard that Janice's manager had only allowed her a couple $100 now and then. She couldn't have the rest, all that she earned, because of her junk habit. And then he heard in his head her song, All Is Loneliness, and he began to cry. And in that condition, drove on toward home.